Are you tired of poor dice play at the gaming table? Do you feel bad letting your friends down with weak rolls? Does your gaming life always feel like a critical miss? Your RPG experience doesn't have to be this way. Take the first step on the road to recovery at FanRollDice.com. At FanRollDice.com, you will find all the gaming accessories you need. Unique, well-crafted dice and accessories are there to elevate your gaming needs. The Rancor's Brothel is here to help. Use promo code RBP10 at checkout to receive 10% off any order. Go from zero to hero in your gaming group at FanRollDice.com and save yourself 10% using code RBP10. A better gaming experience awaits you. Don't delay. Order today. Warning, this game's setting revolves around an active Middle East combat zone and contains references to extreme violence, graphic content, and other mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
The Rancor's Brothel presents...
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? The craziest body that could ever be. So turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. My atonement has come. My atonement has come. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Iconoclasts, a campaign of horrors modern and ancient.
Choking from the smell of stale perfume and the cigarette you're smoking. That scared me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. My atonement has come. My atonement has come.
Cool, we're recording. We're finally back for session two. I'm very excited. Everybody's being serious. I like it. So where we left off, you have just finished this footage. There's sort of a pan, as you know, the sort of cinematic aspect of this is that the 3D becomes 2D. We pull back from the screen and you can see probably 8 to 10 people in a conference room sitting at tables. The lights sort of flip on and you all sort of are sort of, you know, sort of stunned awake from having watched this video. It seems very fitting. But for your 8 characters, please go ahead and roll sand.
You dick.
Blaine Glancy, first thing of the game, you just watched some weird shit.
I'm good. Over.
28 under 55.
Didn't pass. 0 if you pass, 1 if you fail. You don't get to take anything because that is definitely fucking unnatural.
That's not real.
That's not real. That didn't happen. So, to sort of describe where you're at, important information, especially when I give dates, it's very important to keep track of the dates. The date is the 1st of April, 2016. Your characters find yourselves in an SCIF, which stands for Sensitive Compartmentalized Information Facility. It's one of the most high-tech and spy-proof sort of conference rooms that exist. You are actually at Panzer Kaserne, which is a Marine Corps and Special Forces base in southern Germany. You are all a part of Task Force 01132. Which is a temporary unit under JSOC, U.S. Joint Special Operations Command. So JSOC formed the task force, put you all on it, and sent you to Germany. And basically your first introduction was meeting your case officer, a U.S. Army Colonel Sterrett Gwynn. He is INSCOM Army Operations Group. And he is attached to JSOC, overseeing human intelligence for Army intelligence officers. He is your liaison and connection to CENTCOM. Essentially, you introduced yourselves to each other. You all know you're part of the program. You sat down. He showed you this video. We are back to present moment. Any questions on any of that?
I don't think so.
You're all so kind of how this game is going to be played is Task Force 01132 is made up of eight different individuals. The players can choose who they're playing at any given time. We might swap around. They might change it based on mission or parameter. Would you guys like to go around the table? We should probably get used to doing this every time we start and just say what character you're playing and kind of a general description of them.
Yeah. This is Schroeder, and for today's session, I'll be playing Technical Sergeant Naba Al-Rabini. He's a NSA crypto analyst and typically stationed at the Baghdad Field Station.
This is Daniel Huber. I'll be playing Major Mary Olson, U.S. Army, Signet Analyst and Intelligence Support. She is a damaged veteran with longtime Delta Green work under her belt, majors in electrical engineering. She's very good with reconnaissance, intelligence gathering, experience with radio surveillance and tracking devices.
This is Spencer. I'm playing Kasim Al-Mala, a CIA intelligence analyst. His specialties are history and the occult. Yeah, that's me.
This is Jeff. I'm playing Susan Hastings, a CIA consultant, who is actually a professor of ancient Near Eastern studies at Harvard. Looks like she's been consulting for the State Department and CIA for years and has gotten into some nasty Delta Green research.
Do you guys also want to roll sand for your other four characters? Because they're sitting here as well. I feel like that's only fair. You can divvy them up if you want, if you'd like to introduce them as well. I think that if we had to divide the team right now, you're mostly, not all, but you're mostly playing the intelligence characters, and the other ones are the shooty, shooty, bang, bang characters. Zero if you pass, one if you fail.
Schroeder again for the second character that I am rolling for. It's Staff Sergeant Jamie Warner, U.S. Army, combat medic with the 1st Special Forces Group. And he failed that roll.
Good, you're 0 for 2.
No,
oh, no, you're 1 for 2.
This is Daniel. Second character I rolled for was Jennifer Jashrazi, intelligence case officer, CIA. She did pass her sand check.
Captain Daniel Pashkaev, on the other hand, did not pass his sand check. Age 35 year, special forces, U.S. Army, and he has a sociology degree.
Special Agent Nasser Landry of the FBI's National Security Branch did pass his sanity roll. He is also an Army captain, a JAG lawyer, and specializes in counterterrorism and counterintelligence.
I bet he's got a good bureaucracy role.
Excellent.
I'm sure that'll come in handy. The case officer, Colonel Gwynn, he's got the lovely little clicker for the you know, sort of video in his hand. Any questions?
What was in the jar?
Well, I think it's really what you're supposed to figure out, right?
Yeah, probably.
Has the video been analyzed for any type of special effects or forgery?
We received the video about 5 days ago. A copy will be provided for you to take a look at. As far as we know, it's clean.
Do we have any other hits or reports of this swarm thing?
It'll be included in the packet. Intel has been pulling things that may or may not be related. As you can imagine, Mosul is not exactly a place where intelligence is very solid for the U.S. intelligence community.
What's our timetable here?
Pretty damn quick.
That's what I was worried
about.
Do
we have any idea how long ago the footage was from?
And he sort of holds up the clicker. If you'd allow me to continue. He's very pissed off.
You wanted questions.
He asked that in a way that I feel like Army colonels do when they don't really want questions.
I assume that the Near Eastern Studies professor would expect questions when asked for them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. He doesn't give a shit. He pushes the button on his clicker and a slideshow begins.
I said a slideshow. Begin. Word, damn you. Oh.
This is the best America has? Okay.
Let me see that thing. I can make it work.
So the colonel begins. He flips up a slide, reminding the folks at home that this is an audio podcast, so I'll try and describe the slides. It's clearly a still image from the video that you just watched, showing some lovely, what do I want to say here, terrorists, you know, radicals, standing over the body of Ersam.
I was gonna say, is that an old man with a hole in his head?
It is, in fact.
I wonder who put that there.
So this is the consider the operation you're starting here, codenamed Operation Bone Box. Background on the video. On the 27th of March, we received this digital video file. It was passed on to the program via freelance operative. Intelligence assets have determined that the video recorded incident occurred on the evening of the 23rd of March 2016 in territory that is occupied by ISIL. He advances to the next slide, which shows a satellite image of a sort of rural sort of setting. He says this site is a home south of Mosul, Iraq, north of the Tigris River. This is the property of Tariq Mohammed Ressam. The event that you just watched occurred at the home and appears to be a propaganda action by the sort of the, what do I want to say here, the propaganda branch of ISIL, sort of Dabiq and some of their assets in terms of promoting sort of the jihadi message. The ISIL fighters, as far as we can tell, were meant to record themselves finding and destroying his collection of forbidden antiquities. In terms of background on Tariq Mohammed Ressam, he was born in 1923, grew up relatively wealthy, and inherited and managed a family-owned marble quarry outside Mosul. He had advanced degrees in Mesopotamian archaeology from Cambridge University in the UK and Freie Universität Berlin in Germany. He was a patron of the Iraq Museum in Baghdad from its founding in 1966, professor at the University of Mosul from its founding in 1967 until his retirement in 1997. He was married in 1972 to Anja Al-Khalili, a University of Mosul librarian. She died of a heart attack in 1983. He has no children. He was a nominal member of Iraq's Arab Socialist Ba'ath Party from 1982 until its banning in 2003. In terms of some additional classified background, some things that might be of note, Tariq Ressam and his father, Mohammed Ressam, started working as intelligence assets in 1940 for British Secret Intelligence Service, later known as MI6. They apparently aided in the overthrow of a fascist coup that threatened to deliver the Kingdom of Iraq into the hands of the Axis powers.
You say it was 86?
Nice.
No, 1940. MI6 records show that Tariq Ressam came into contact with the OSS during this period, but we could not find OSS records to confirm this. CIA records from the 50s and 60s indicate that Ressam acted as an asset for both the CIA and MI6. Predominantly, the intelligence he delivered was low priority, related to sort of internal Iraqi and then later Ba'ath Party politics, particularly as they intersected the black market in Mesopotamian antiquities. After the first Gulf War in 91, Ressam terminated his relationship with Western intelligence services, as far as we know. We have no further insight on him beyond that. He did not have contact with U.S. forces during the occupation of Mosul in 2003. Some of his extended family members acted as U.S. intelligence assets, local translators and liaisons from the 50s through the 90s. A large number of them used this to immigrate to Western countries out of Iraq. Other teams for the program are running down family members and will deliver any actionable intelligence if it arises. As part of Operation Bone Box, your orders involve cover, investigation, neutralization, OPSEC, and a very fast timetable. As you all know, you've brought here as Task Force 01132 as part of the Joint Special Operations Command. The CIA and Pentagon regard your task force as a compartmentalized JSOC group tasked with tracking down and eliminating a high echelon ISIL actor whose identity is classified. This is your cover. Anyone who is pressed for details should be referred to me as your case officer. I will tell you now, this cover is thin. It's functional. Don't test it. I'm going to be... I'm stationed here in Germany. I can only do so much for you in Iraq. You will be predominantly on your own. Don't expect, if you push this and run this up the chain, for it not to cause problems for you in the theater.
You said one of our objectives was neutralization. Do we have any intel to suggest how to do that?
More information will be provided as the briefing continues.
Thank you, Colonel.
And you get the sense that he was mildly irritated before. He's very irritated by that question. Task Force 01132 will proceed to the USAF logistical hub at Kirkuk Airport in northern Iraq and establish a base of operations. Considering the lack of substantive data as to the nature of the incursion, it is highly recommended that the task force gather intelligence and assets and make detailed preparations before they attempt to infiltrate ISIL-held Mosul. The task force will act with all due haste while preserving OPSEC. OPSEC can be sacrificed only if the immediacy of the threat would compromise OPSEC in any event. Task Force 01132 will go to the Rassam House outside Mosul, retrieve all documents and artifacts that are relevant to Operation Bonebox, and bring them back to the Kirkuk base of operations for study or destruction, according to the task force command element. Task Force 01132 will make contact with U.S. and allied services in order to generate operational intelligence. It will ascertain what happened in the immediate aftermath of the Rassam incident. It will determine details of the incursion and assess whether it remains a threat, its nature, capacities, and vulnerabilities. Task force must prioritize intelligence and indicates the threat may be moving towards a public mass casualty event. In terms of neutralization, Task Force 01132 will locate and the incursion and neutralize it. The task force is authorized to infiltrate the territory of ISIL under the cover of pursuit of a high-value ISIL target if that is required to neutralize the threat. Cover identities as members of Al-Hizbah will be provided, with female agents identified as officers of the all-women Al-Khansa Brigade. Of even greater importance than neutralizing the incursion is ensuring that no actor in the current Mesopotamia crisis gains access to or understanding of this phenomenon. Russian forces are very active in Syria. Iranian Quds Force units operate openly in Syria and covertly in Iraq. No allied forces can be trusted with details about the incursion under any circumstance. TF-01132 will guard this information with extreme prejudice. In the theater, you have limited access to U.S. CENTCOM resources. Cover identities have been prepared for the task force. TF-01132 has been warned that these cover identities will not withstand prolonged scrutiny. You will negotiate use of Iraqi army or Kurdish Peshmerga resources as needed on a case-by-case basis with local officers. And in case any of you haven't been paying attention to the local news, the Iraqi army, the coalition, is in fact moving forward with Al-Fatah or Operation Conquest. The plan at this point is to, they officially started Operation Conquest on the 24th of March. The resulting surge in radio traffic has made it incredibly difficult to monitor enemy communications. They're attempting to position allied forces to encircle Mosul and test the city's defenses before a full assault. Allied forces on the ground include 36,000 troops, comprising of 200 U.S. Marines and 500 military advisors, supported by U.S. airstrikes. Intelligence reports estimate that ISIL is defending Mosul and its suburbs with between 12,000 and 20,000 combatants. Fighting is confined to the south and east of Mosul, but the situation is extremely fluid, and ISIL forces in the region are on high alert. He clicks off to the last slide to a black screen and again looks up. Any questions?
What kind of transport in country has already been arranged?
A lot. We'll get you into Iraq. We'll get you to Kirkuk. After that, you're going to have to figure out how to get yourselves into Mosul. The situation will be fluid enough that you will likely need to make the decision of exact insertion on an hour-by-hour basis. We can get supplies. We can get methods of transport, but keep in mind it is, in fact, an active war zone. Cover identities will be coming. If you would like to infiltrate as Al-Hizbah, that will take time. We're still working on it. It's not exactly like we have a lot of eyes on the inside of Mosul. This is, of course, the capital of ISIL at this point, and it is their last major stronghold in Iraq. They are going to fight to the death for every square inch of it. And this incursion is sitting right on top of them.
How far out from, was it the south of Mosul, is Rassam's property?
I'd have to look. It's not far.
But that's where the current fighting is actually taking place, is both south and east of Mosul, yes. Correct?
So south and west, I think. South and east makes more sense to me, but I think that what I just read was south and west.
I don't think you said west.
Yeah, south and east. Okay. Just, yeah, you're right.
So we're literally going to have to...
Potentially.
I mean, the whole point of what we're doing is to investigate Rassam.
We have Rassam's to get to the property.
Like, being able to get there, we're going to be driving through active.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we can go around Mosul.
We can, but the fighting is... Are you to... My assumption south was that the east. Fighting was outside, not actually in Mosul itself.
No, because Allied forces are surrounding Mosul.
Yeah.
And ISIL is holding it under siege.
If anything, it's going to be a good distraction.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Will we have any drone assets for surveillance locally?
Whatever you can get your hands on.
Okay. I'm a drone pilot also, so.
Supplies will be provided. You will have the ability to get other assets, but you're going to have to get creative in the field. We get the sense that whatever this is, it's big, it's bad, and it needs to be put down. But it's a delicate situation. You can't exactly just, you know, walk in there.
Yeah, no. That's pretty obvious.
Do we have intel on what's been going on Rassam's property since this?
No, not yet. It says it takes about an hour to drive from Kirkuk to where Rassam lives.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. It's about 30, 40 miles.
Now, obviously, through an active war zone is another question entirely, but...
So it's been roughly, what, a week since the event then? It occurred 23rd of March, and it's April. Yeah.
And if you guys give me a second, I will drop that. I will drop
the 9 days
in the... Discord. It's just going to take me a second.
This is interesting. I don't think I've ever actually looked at maps of this area.
You're going to look at a lot of maps, I think, over this game.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
So, did you see, where's Tikrit in relation to Mosul?
Tikrit?
Because that's our drop zone, right?
No, we're going to Kirkuk.
Kirkuk, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's about 30, 40 miles southeast of Mosul.
If I've done this right, I think the slides are in order. And if you do notice, there's a slight issue between my PDF version, because I think I have an earlier PDF version than the print version. One of the slides is misnumbered. That doesn't mean anything secretive.
For the OCD people, thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
He's just trying to throw us off.
Yeah. Don't appeal to my paranoia.
He's also going to, at some point, hand you a packet of clues while I'm doing this right now. I'm just going to dump them in as well. It is the most recent org chart of ISIL, as far as they know, related incidents that may be pertinent to what is to the attack that you saw, and some information about Rassam and Operation Conquest and some of the other stuff that I read. That is all going in the Op Intel channel.
Colonel, do I have clearance to reach out to some of my friends and associates in academia to get a little bit more of background info on Rassam?
As long as you can contain OPSEC.
Okay.
An ISIL night patrol raised an alarm upon finding an ISIL fighter skinned in Asana's district. Oh. Wonder what could have done that.
That document is full of rumors. You have no idea if any of those are true or not, but they've charted them as being at least somewhat similar to what you saw. So when one of you asked earlier if there were other intelligence about what's happened in the last week or so.
Yeah.
That's what they.
Oh, we actually get a tag date map as well. That's, is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
dates of attacks correlating with rough locations in Mosul based on reports.
Is there more information about why Rassam terminated his relationship with intelligence agencies?
I mean, I would imagine it had to do with Western occupation.
That makes sense. 91.
We'll deal with that in the second half of the briefing.
Gotcha. Skinned, alive, but catatonic.
And then there's found skinned and some of them were missing.
For the audience, just because I know that Jeff's going to want to interject, and I feel like we may have to record some stuff over, Jeff.
You know,
But included in what the players got is a list of potentially similar incidents to what they saw on the footage. It's a list of what, 15, maybe 20, 12, something like that. I don't know. But a decent number of potential similar events.
14.
Over the last 7 or 8 days.
Flayed, skinned.
My gut tells me flayed. The answer is no, but... is there any value to following up on any of these rumors? Once in country, probably not.
I think that's for you folks to establish. I would imagine that at least trying to understand the situation. This seemed like a chaotic incursion. It seemed to be attacking with reckless abandon.
I think we need more intel from the site. Obviously... this thing was known to Rassad. So we need to find out if, in fact, this incursion has happened before, why they had it contained, and how they had it contained. Mm. Maybe give us some insight on how to contain it again.
Yeah, I can do a little bit of research alongside Susan to try to determine if there's anything in the historical record of significance that could help us out, oral histories and such.
If you don't have any further questions over the presentation, I'd like to continue the briefing.
Cool.
Please turn in your phones and laptops. Literally, you see like a sergeant at arms come in with a box.
How temporary is this?
It's important for the rest of the briefing. He says, looking like he doesn't want another question.
Sighs heavily. Puts in his phone.
Any other digital recording device in the box, please. And he collects all your phones.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll follow me. he steps up and turns and marches out of the room.
Oh, I thought you were getting up and we were going to have to follow you.
We're going on an adventure with Cody.
You didn't remember it snowing outside, right?
We're going to Kirkuk. Little did you guys know, this is a reality TV show. We're all being filmed. So Colonel Gwynn steps up, leaves the room. So this SCIF, this secured facility, is some sort of like soundproof, bug proof, blah, 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 whatever, right? And so you leave this and he marches you across the base. Those of you with military experience, those of you at least paying attention to signs, realizes that he is he's marching you towards because this is an active base, right? He's marching you towards the stockade, and you enter into the holding facility, and you can see he takes you up to one of those lovely, you know, sort of law and order, criminal justice type stuff. You know, you've got the two-way interrogation mirror. And you can see somebody is sitting at a table, big guy, probably mid 60s, kind of got that lovely, like long, not like super long, but like the curly sort of hair that like sticks to your scalp, bit of a goatee, handcuffed to the metal table in the interrogation room, wearing cargo shorts, like a Grateful Dead t-shirt. And a Hawaiian shirt on top of that. He's got sign of like some light tinted blue sunglasses, and is kind of just tapping on the desk.
Did anybody here watch Jack Ryan?
Yes.
Do you know who I'm thinking of? Mm-hmm. The human trafficker guy. I think it was Syria.
No.
You don't know who I'm talking about?
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I don't know how soundproof the interrogation room would be, but it seems like he's just drumming in the air, playing piano on the metal table, just rocking out.
Grizzly fellow.
Gwyn just looks at you and then opens the door. As soon as you open the door, the guy stops and just turns and sees you all walk in. This is Sloane. Sloane just stares you up and down. So, you all the cast for the opera?
It seems so.
Seeing you all sort of probably stare at each other, he looks right at Gwyn and says, "You guys have gotten really fucking dull since 9/11. You know that? Hey, Jarhead!" And he screams at the Marine that's with you. "Where are my fucking cigarettes?" To which the Jarhead kind of looks at Gwyn, who nods, and he walks over and tosses a pack of Marlboro Reds on the table.
They're not Morley's?
I thought about Morley's, but like Marlboro Reds just suits what I want this character to be. I did think about Morley's though. But you see him light one up in the interrogation room, does his best to lean down while his hands are handcuffed. Oh, fuck. Jail sucks.
I hate that every character you play smokes.
Only the cool ones. Smoking is cool, kids. The other reason why I picked Marlboro Reds is because one of my old gaming buddies, mother, probably still to this day, God rest her, I hope she doesn't, smoke Marlboro Reds, and they have such a distinct smell. Mm. And that's the smell that I want in this room for this moment, is the smell of Marlboro Reds. Mm. They're harsh, disgusting smelling cigarette. What can I do for you?
I'm not sure yet.
Apparently, we haven't gotten that far in the briefing.
No. Apparently, you're the next part of the briefing. So what can you do?
Hopefully, you program pukes can go out and put two in the back of whatever this thing is and call it a day.
Well, as far as we can tell from the video, it looks like a plague of locusts. I don't know if we can necessarily put two in the back of that.
I look at Gwyn. He is red in.
Where do you think the fucking video came from?
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but you, with your billions of dollars in black budget, can't rub two decent sticks of intelligence together. This is fucking ridiculous. He looks right at Gwyn accusatorily and wagging about half the cigarette that's left. If you motherfuckers hadn't got rid of us in 1970, we would have taken... And he's like, "Knock it off. Keep the politics out of it. Tell them what they need to know."
Did you see it?
What? The thing in the video?
Yeah.
No, no.
Where'd you get the video?
Where he dropped the camcorder when he died.
Ah. So you have been on site.
Absolutely. Rassam's one of ours. Oh, you think your program's the first program?
No, I get it.
You're not even the most competent program in the room, and I'm handcuffed.
No, I get it. You're one of the cowboys.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to know that, which is half the fun of what I'm doing, Jeff.
No.
Oh, that's right.
The program does know what the cowboys are.
People with enough DG experience might know what they are, but the program does try to keep that incredibly low key. The colonel keeps interrupting him and telling him to get back on task. Yes, sorry. The briefing. Right. He sort of mock salutes. Rassam contacted us. He wanted us to get the Throne of Blood, the amphora. He wanted it out of Iraq. I had a partner. We were going to pick it up at Rassam's place. ISO got there first. What a goddamn bloodbath. Holy shit. It's been many years since I've seen that much fucking blood all over the place.
So Rassam was trying to get rid of it, but somebody clued ISO into it before you could get there.
Nah, I don't know that if it was intentional or not.
Yeah.
Maybe just dumb fucking luck.
Okay. Yeah,
maybe
all kinds of coincidences all over the place.
Yeah, they're a bitch, aren't they?
When did what was the rundown of when we had the footage? Was the footage attained? I'm assuming not
attained the 27th. I believe the tape was from the 23rd.
Correct.
So Sloan got it the day the 24th. He's like, I was going to meet them. I was going to meet him the next day. We had set up to get this thing out of Iraq. I think he's had it for a long time. He's been wanting to get it out, but it's not exactly been the most, you know, calm place sociopolitically, geopolitically.
Did you get the footage out in person on the 27th?
Yeah. No, 24th.
You said 27th.
27th was when...
Is that when he got here?
When the program got it.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it on the 24th. We gave it to these assholes, he says, pointing to the colonel, on the 27th. I came in out of the cold.
And you got here on the 27th, so you weren't on the ground anytime between then and now.
Mm. We scrambled and got the fuck out of there. We got, we took the camcorder, and I took the stopper for obvious reasons out of the M4. We didn't get anything else.
What was special about the stopper? Why didn't you take the amphora?
At this point, he's like in the middle of lighting another cigarette. He's already stopped that one out, maybe two out. Like I said, he's really enjoying this Marine's mm-hmm. pack of cigarettes at his expense. He starts to light it and he's like, he looks right at the colonel, says, "That's pretty fucking mission critical, don't you think, asshole?" Jesus Christ, this... And as best as he can, handcuffed to the table, he tries to shrug violently. Gwyn turns to the jarhead and says, "Have him bring it in." Within a couple of moments, you see two soldiers escorting a woman in plain clothes. She's got a briefcase that is handcuffed to her wrist. One of the soldiers takes the key from around his neck, unlocks the briefcase, they set it on the table. And then all three of them leave.
Hastings is sitting there mumbling under her breath, shaking her head, saying something about being treated like mushrooms.
You see him reach over and says, he said, "Get the code right. Don't write it down." And he tells you that the code is 8081. And you see him punch it in, and he opens up this aluminum case. He said, "Wrong code will detonate the thermite inside the case."
Sweet.
That 808 bump.
And he spins it around, and what you see is the bronze stopper from the video. As he turns it over, you can see on the interior surface, so like what you consider kind of like the bottom of the cork, there's sort of a strange symbol that like draws the eye. Gwyn says that glyph is a two-dimensional representation of a higher dimension mathematical construct. Our experience with the program has demonstrated that it can damage or repel certain inhuman intelligences. The formula also disrupts manipulation of time space, hypergeometry. It makes sure that the things that are outside this stay that way. Other versions exist. They're all potent, but only if deployed properly. Certain modes of mathematics deal with higher dimensions beyond our four dimensions of time and space, but the effects can be toxic to the operator. Hypergeometry bypasses physics, but there's a price, one we don't pay unless we're out of options. As Gwyn goes through this, you see Sloan just stare at him, the ash falling off the end of his cigarette. It's fucking magic. Guys, it's fucking magic. It's called the Elder Sign. It's great to bar a door, but it makes a piss poor fucking flak jacket. That's what you need to know.
Thank you.
She's starting to like the old version of this a little better than the new one.
I know, right?
Much less resources. Much less resources.
Yeah. So if I'm following correctly, the vessel is not the important part. It's this glyph.
Correct. As far as I can understand from what we talked about with Rassam, this thing is fucking Pandora's vase. I don't know. That symbol on the inside, that vase, all it did was contain whatever the hell it... What did he call that? My Arabic kind of sucks. Abu Harb is what he called it, which roughly translates to father of war.
I look to the people that speak Arabic to make sure that the translation is accurate.
I got 50%.
At 50%, yeah. I mean, it's,
oh, wait, I got 50%. Never mind.
There's a linguistic thing going on there, but yes, essentially father of war. Jeff, can I see Susan's character sheet? Okay. Make me a D100 roll, Jeff. Don't make a shitty one.
Jeff. God damn it. 84.
Is this a role that anybody else could make if they hadn't said skills?
No, I checked it ahead of time. Him saying that, you missed something in the footage. It's something that he said when he talks about Throne of Blood, the Amphora, and the Father of War. It triggers a memory for you that you need to check the footage. You think you saw something.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's go ahead and change those dice out.
To jail with you.
And Jeff, you can tick the skill Akkadian.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. Obviously, we couldn't bring back the M4. The thing was fucking heavy. But Rassam talked about how he felt the containment. He felt a presence in it. He felt it for years. It affects people. People who aren't used to this shit. It causes horrible nightmares. I don't know. Maybe it's pressing against the walls of the prison. Maybe it's influencing people. I don't know. He'd been researching this for decades, trying to figure out what the hell to do with it. He was looking for a bunch of Assyrian tablets called Winds Unknown to Adad.
What does Susan know about that?
We'll have to make a roll on that here in a minute. I will look up the Winds Unknown to Adad here in a bit. Remind me.
Did Rasad have any knowledge of this being used in previous history?
I don't think so, but the Winds Unknown to Adad seemed to speak to the thing in there. He wanted to move it during daylight. Apparently, it seems vulnerable to sunlight. Even moonlight might be particularly damaging to it. I don't know. He said he didn't dare open it up even in the middle of a noon sun. It's vulnerable to, he sort of shrugs at the colonel, hypergeometry. That's clearly what's holding it in there. The amphora, the elder sign, that's what stuck it open until these dumb fuck wannabes opened up Pandora's box. What he does say is correct. Hypergeometry, it'll melt your fucking brain if you deal with it.
There wasn't any hope left inside, was there?
That's where you guys come in.
So, Kasim kind of holds his hands up like they're in handcuffs. What got you in trouble with these great United States?
Well,
just coming in out of the cold.
See, I belong to the real Delta Green. But it's no time, looking at Gwyn again, giving him a sidelong stink eye as they both do, is that this is no time for a goddamn dick measuring contest. Whatever this is, it's big, it's bad, it needs to go away. Whether that's, you know, let's put the black budget tax dollars to work, right?
Right.
You folks are clever. You have resources. You have intel and spy planes. Go put the thing down.
So was there anything left over at the site that gives any indication as to what it is?
You think the fuck I know?
I don't know. You were the one on the ground.
Right. I'm the canary in the fucking cage.
And we're waiting to see if you've dropped dead yet.
I don't plan on it unless Jarhead here puts two in the back of me. But right now I'm useful to you guys. So they're not going to do much other than, you know, humiliate me and leave me locked up in here. The acoustics are great, though. Great for singing. Don't you love it, buddy? He says, looking at the Marine.
Any other cowboys still on the ground?
Fuck off. We're long gone.
I mean, we're just trying to find assets.
Hey, like I said, I'm burned, buddy. This is my retirement. I'm out. This is your goddamn problem. They're going to keep me locked up until you fix it or we all die. Either way, I'm done. Consider the baton officially passed. Put that shit back in the ground. Go home. And I'll go find a dark hole to crawl into and drink myself to death. Deal?
Okay. Somebody give him another pack of cigarettes and let's get to work.
I'll be here if you need anything. I'm not going anywhere, right, Colonel? He says, yanking on the handcuffs.
Kasim pulls out a pack of menthols and puts it on the table.
Fucking pansy. He immediately snags them up. This asshole doesn't do anything but stand around me all day long. Go make him buy another pack of Marlboros. But he immediately lights up the menthol. Yeah. Shit. Tastes like smoking a fucking candy cane.
All right.
Let me see anything else. Anything else that I missed? He told you that. You got that. You got that. You got that.
The glyph that's on the stopper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sitting there on the table, open in the case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, putting my hand over it. Do you feel anything?
No, but it does. Like, it gives you a weird headache whenever you kind of look at it. Like, you don't feel comfortable looking at it. Gwyn would actually, like, move to stop you. Sloan doesn't make any sort of movement whatsoever.
So this hypergeometry.
Magic.
Yeah, I know. Can anybody etch that glyph into something and have it work? Or
I've seen about a 50-50 rate of success. 60-40, I'll let you guess which way it goes.
I don't remember hypergeometry being part of my studies.
No, but if we know that this particular glyph is useful against this thing, can we use it, or does it have to be this object?
Don't know.
Okay.
Again, I'm here to
be unhelpful.
I think I've been very helpful. You prick. But yeah, no, consider me unhelpful. Good luck. Be filleted alive.
No, I will say you have actually been helpful. You at least gave us the intel that we need to do the job.
And right.
She'll glance at Gwyn.
He is just fuming. He can't say anything, but you can tell that it gets stepped one iota out of line. He's going to explode. Yeah, good hunting.
So, any other stops on this field trip?
So, you guys have been fed a lot of information. You have notes. You have slides. Unless you have anything else you want to talk to Sloan about, the next stage is he's going to put you on a plane and send you to Iraq. So, if there's anything else you'd like to do or talk to either the Colonel or Sloan about, you might want to think about that. Like I said, this game's going to be full of table talk and plotting, so figure out kind of what you want to do or anything you want to say. I have given you the highlights of the briefing.
The stopper's coming with us, correct?
Absolutely. You are... here's what I'll do. We'll narratively fast forward to put you on the plane, but if you guys don't want to be on the plane, we'll take you back off of it. But presuming that you do nothing else at this point, you leave Sloan to his smoke-filled room. As the door begins to close, he starts to sing One is the Loneliest Number at the top of a very off-key lungs. You would return to the briefing room. Colonel Gwyn would hand a briefcase to somebody. Who is he handing the briefcase to?
Say Captain Dan.
Captain Dan has it like handcuffed to his, closed and handcuffed to his wrist. He would then take the key.
You guys good with that?
Yeah.
He would put the key around the neck of somebody else.
I'll take the key.
The key goes on the neck of
Technical Sergeant Al Rabini.
So you guys might want to write that one of you has the briefcase and one of you has the key. He would also hand a secondary case to whomever wants to take it.
Sure, I'll take the second case.
The second case contains, he will open it up and hand it to you. Who am I handing it to?
Mary Olson.
So as he hands the second case to Mary Olson, he will open it up. Inside is, you have the digital video on a non-transferable thumb drive. You have contact information for U.S. and allied intelligence services in the region. You're given $112,000 in shrink-wrapped $100 bills, all dated 2002 or earlier. You're also given the packet of information that I gave you already on Discord. You have covers, which we will need to establish what those are. Each of you will have two covers. I can go into that later, but every single character will have two covers. We'll want to write those on the back of the sheets or whatever so we can remember. I can go into more of that later. You also have all the paperwork you need to pass through military bases to say that you should be in the field, that you should have all this stuff, all the sort of stuff he covered in the PowerPoint presentation. He then goes on to say, the money is obviously for bribes or anything else you can't put on a requisition form. You should know better than to steal it. Anything else? Requisition what you need through JSOC. We have a lot of leeway, seeing as your official mission is to hunt ISIL bigwigs. Transport is waiting to take you to Kirkuk, so you can, which the Air Force has as a logistical hub for supporting Operation Conquest. He says, you'll be up to your armpits in Kurdish Peshmerga, Air Force, and JSOC operators. Under no circumstances can any of them know the details of your mission. There's no telling how much Iranian penetration there is in our allies. Presume everyone you're talking to in the Iraqi army or any of those Shia militias that you're talking to Iran. Remember, you're the team assigned to solve this problem. There isn't some other team at some other base working on this. You are it. Good luck and good hunting. So unless there's anything else you want to talk about, we can always rewind back in time to talk to the colonel or whatever. But essentially, you're going to be put on a transport and head out to Kirkuk or less immediately.
Are we giving our devices back?
Yes, you are okay. Giving your devices back. He just wanted you nowhere near recording or doing anything with Sloan because he trusts Sloan 0%.
Right.
He does let you know that Sloan will be detained for the foreseeable future. If you wanted to come back, you could.
Do we
wonderful cost of doing the right thing?
If we need to contact him, do we need to come back here or can we contact him through you?
You can attempt to contact him through the colonel, but he sort of gives you a look that says you saw how that went, right?
At no point in time is there going to be any recording of that man's existence, including digital through communication devices.
Gwyn would be much happier finding a shallow grave in Germany and making sure that Sloan never got up from there. He is the antithesis of everything that the program is.
Sure he is.
Well, he is. The program and Delta Green are two different things.
Yeah.
Sort of. Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Wibbly wobbly.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to play more 90s Delta Green
shit. I know. That book is coming. Excited.
I paid an extra $100 to the Kickstarter so that they will mail me the books as they come out and not wait for a year and a half to mail them to me all at once. So.
Wow. Worth it.
Spencer actually played in the very first Delta Green game ever written, but we lost that recording unless Spencer still has it somewhere.
Probably not.
So yeah, this is your chance to sort of figure out what you want to do and where you're going. Ostensibly, you're on a plane ride to Kirkuk, but if you want to talk about other things, feel
free. So we got 12 hours to figure out what the fuck we're going to do.
Yeah. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
That ain't the way to have fun, son.
our title track, Mama Told Me Not to Come, composed by friend of the podcast Ian Shannon, with additional vocals by Lucas Patterson and Cody Grady. You can find more of Ian's work at sleepfortheweary.com. Like what you heard? Check out more episodes online at rancorsbrothel.com, YouTube, or anywhere you can download podcasts. Enjoy talking nerdy? Follow the podcast with other listeners on the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody. It is.